Austin Miller. He's tough. I thought I had him in a good spot in the first round. Should have exploited that. And I landed some great shots, got a good cut, and, you know, I was just looking for a finish after that. And he just trumped right through me. So, you know, Jason Miller is phenomenal. He's a great athlete, and I really appreciate the opportunity from HDNet to let me fight, and the IFL for giving me the opportunity to come here and do my best to knock Jason Miller out. It didn't happen. So, next time.
Thanks, sir. And what we'll do... we'll turn it to Jason, then we'll open it to questions from everybody. Jason.
Man, you know, Tim is certainly up top, man. That was a great fight. I just want to say thank you very much for everyone coming out. I can't believe, you know, with how terrible these guys marketed this event that he did so well. Nah, I'm kidding. You know, I just talked about it. Yeah, so, you know, man, Tim did a great job. He had me in a bad spot, round one. I knew he was going to come out, you know, like an Army Ranger, and he did. And, I have a good record against Army guys, as everyone knows, that I lost my first few fights against my dad. It was in the Army, and I have a good record since then against him. I beat his ass a few times. So, it was a tough fight, and, you know, Salmon dropped out of the fight due to getting his head kicked off, Tim Zayn came up, and, you know, when we were younger, Tim beat the piss out of me, so, you know, I never made a name for myself by dunking anybody, so even though I had that in my mind that Tim beat me mercilessly for 3 rounds in the last fight, I said, you know what, I'm going. I never dunked anybody in my life, so, you know, let's do this. And I ramped up the training. Dr. Ryan Parsons put me through a real hard training camp despite all my efforts to avoid it. And, you know, I had a good time, man. My old lady, Kathy Tanaka, was on me, helping me eat right and, you know, be straight. But, you know, I'm running off on the mount like Nick Diaz right now, so I'll turn it over to Mr. Anderson.
Are we going
to
see the trilogy? Part 3? 1-1?
Hey, you know, I know Tim would be up for it. And, oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Guy Metzger, come on over.
Hey.
Hey. Bring Guy Metzger over here also.
I want to talk a little bit about the matchup tonight and then also what you're thinking for the future.
Well, can everyone hear me all right?
Yeah.
That's up the lane over. Guys, matchmaking, this matchmaker was a freaking genius. That's all I can say. they made me look good, like they did the last fights. I'm absolute proof that it's better to be lucky than good. And these guys came out. We didn't expect anything but an awesome fight. Everybody came out and gave it their all and fought. And that's all we asked for them. And the audience, I tell you guys, you know, part of my job is to walk around and find out how much abuse I'm going to take the next day or how much applause I'm going to take the next day. And the crowd was just overwhelmingly, the whole production, the fighters, the in-house announcing, we got such incredible feedback. It relieved a lot of stress in my life, a lot of stress in Andrew's life. And these two guys had an unbelievable war. And fights like that, you don't want to do too many, but we would love to have these guys back for 3, wouldn't we, guys?
Yeah!
It also sets up, and definitely, both these guys will be back. We look to have you back, Sarah. We want to talk about having you back. But, guys, what about, we might have another rematch fight here. What about Mayhem versus Twinkle Toes?
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. That sounds like a great one for February. What do you guys think? Yeah. And, just appreciate everybody coming out and doing such a wonderful job. Like I said, everyone does such a good job. I look like a genius when you guys fight so good.
Let's start with the questions for any of the fighters here.
You have a pretty big gash on your nose there, Tim. Did that come from an overhand, or did it come from the point of an elbow?
Are you insinuating I'm a cheater? Get out of here.
I'm not the one.
Mitt Romney.
The explosiveness of Jason Miller's strikes, I really don't remember. Honestly, I'm not sure when it. I know it. It doesn't matter. You give me a beat down in the last two rounds, so I think unequivocally that it's kind of irrelevant.
And Jason Ogono, I mean, when are you going to rise to Ogono's level with your entrance? I mean, I'd give that about six, but I want some choreography and dancing. What are you going to do in Ogono entrance?
I don't think that you are a proper judge of entrances.
How many entrances have you done?
No, I don't.
And here's the thing, if I can get HDNet fights to help me out, I think that, you know, I could get a really... I thought it was weird. I thought us standing next to each other on the ramp, I thought we were going to hold hands and walk to the ring together. It was strange to me. And there's a few things I would like to change about the production value of the fights, but, you know, Jason's been very free with his comments. As soon as I got here, I was like, hey, man, I don't want to stand next to the guy walking out. I don't want to... This is stupid. That is stupid. So, I don't know. And hopefully we can change it and then just mold into a beautiful stage show. Other questions?
Did Jason surprise you with anything tonight?
No. He's tough. And, you know, I should have been a little more explosive at the end of that first round. I thought I could have finished him there. And, with lackadaisical, and he's just tough. So, no, I knew he was tough. I knew he was going to be, you know, wiry, squirmy, irritating. And he definitely did all those things.
What would be the difference if there was a rematch?
I should have stood with him more. That was my game plan. I don't know why I deviated from that. And so I would probably be a lot more aggressive for looking for a knockout.
Other questions at all? Well, thank you guys for coming up here. Appreciate it. All right. Well, we want to move on to the next fight. We'll have to have Mr. Frank Trey come on up here. Oh, man. We got Frank and Edwin. All right, we'll start out again with Edwin talking a little bit about the fight.
Turn to you first.
I know.
It was the best fight I ever had. I loved every second. For me to get submitted, you know, that's what I do. It's kind of embarrassing. I'd rather be knocked out, folded back on my legs and twitching. Obviously, Frank is a very good fighter. And, you know, if you're going to get submitted, you might as well get submitted by somebody of his caliber. But, you know, it's just really disheartening for me to actually get submitted. But overall, you know, I had a good experience with HDNet. It's actually, you know, in my 50 fights, it's the best organization I've ever fought for. They've taken care of all of the fighters, well, me anyway, you know, as good as I've ever been taken care of, and, you know, I hope to fight here again.
Good job, Andrew, good job.
Thanks, buddy.
I said jokingly, you know, that everyone is younger, you know, obviously 25 compared to my 35, bigger, stronger, obviously better submission than I am. So for me to catch him in submission is a blessing in disguise. Like, I really didn't think. If I was told Ron and Randy when we got back to the locker room, I said, you asked me a million times how the fight was going to end. In any way scenario, it was never going to be by me getting a submission. And that really goes to the guys at Stream Couture really getting on time, like Jay Ron, Mike Pyle, and of course, you know, Jay White, working with him the last 2 weeks literally every day. He and I were basically workout buddies. Even though it's 260, he's a guy that actually knows how to work with a smaller guy and teach me stuff. And then working with John Lewis every day, you know, every Tuesday and Thursday, really trying to push submission. You guys have seen how I lose. I mean, it's not a secret. You guys see when I get beat, what happens to me. And so I had to really concentrate on my submission game. And I knew going against Edwin, if I didn't pay attention, especially with him training Ken Shamrock, not only would I have to worry about arm bars and triangles and kimuras, I was going to have to worry about knee bars and heel hooks and ankle locks. And I was like, I literally was staying up at night, worrying about what Edwin was going to do to me. And this is probably the most nerve-wracking fighter in a real long time, just because of what he brings to the table. A lot more fights than me, a lot younger than me, a lot quicker, and probably the first guy that has the kind of size and strength of 185 that I haven't really competed against. So for me to catch him in submission, for me, is a huge deal. Personally, for me and for my camp, to really say, look, you know, we actually got me over a hump that I've been battling for, fuck, who knows, 10 years? I was trying to spell it out to see how far away you go.
I thought you'd go to the 10 minutes and come back. Any questions for either of these guys on the fight tonight? Go ahead.
Are you double jointed, Edwin? Triple jointed? I mean, that was pretty sick in there. How's your shoulder right now?
It hurts, but, you know, I really didn't want to tap out. I just, you know, I'm a fighter, you know. I'm going to fight until I can't go anymore. And, you know, it's hurting pretty bad, but, you know, I just held out as long as I could until I thought, you know, it was going to do some damage that, you know, I wouldn't be able to fight again. That's, you know, when I tapped.
Edwin, I know you said you trained all year and you had a couple fights fall through. I think you kind of bit off a little more than you could chew, but a guy with good caliber.
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, I'm not saying that Frank isn't world class. He is, but, you know, the guys I'm training with, I'm training every day. You know, I've been training all year. I don't think so, no.
Other questions for these guys? Now, again, you know, coming up on February 15th, the tape is wrong in the arena. You're going to see our next fight on February 15th. And, you know, we're taking a look to see if we can bring Frank and Mayhem together and do this one more time. We all know Frank took him out, won that fight last time, and, you know, we'll see this time around. I mean, both guys looked awesome tonight, so.
Well, I think I announced a little bit ago, so we can go ahead and double the salary now. Because
see how that works. Like, you know, how would you take a look at Mayhem if you were to go up against me?
It's tough, man, because, you know, Dan Henderson and I have been friends for a long time, and Ryan Parsons, you know, we've been friends for a long time, and then Mayhem's a great guy. We actually get along. We're not competing against each other. The problem is with Ryan and Henderson in his corner and in his camp, they know what I do. And so they train him accordingly. A lot better almost than anybody can train me from Jason, they can train him from me. So it's a real hard anomaly. Especially with the fact that he kicked the living crap out of him like he did tonight in the first round. He literally beat him up to the point where anybody else would have to quit and the ref would have to stop it. Jason's still in the game. And then come second, third round, he's beating you up because you're exhausted from almost finishing the fight. You never really finished the fight. And he's never done. Even though we fought, and you look at everybody shows the last 45 seconds of our fight, which was a devastating portion. It was really the only portion of that fight where I was under complete control. If you look at any other portion of those rounds or any of the rounds, it was a back-and-forth battle the entire time. Jason's a lot better than anybody is ever thinking that he can ever be, and he keeps getting better by hanging out with Team Quest. So if you go after Jason, I'm probably going to have somebody take him on Nancy Kerrigan style.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Eddie. Any questions? All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. I'd like to call Lester Bedford up here at this point. Lester, handle the public relations for this fight. Take us through.
Yeah, we want to make sure we recognize all the fighters that are here with us today. At the media conference, different fights on the other card. I know that Pete Zimbrat's here. Tell him the blessings.
Just Dan Anderson, Lynn Broom, Randy, sure, we got.
Behind
us. There you go. Come on, everybody.
Help us out.
Is there any other questions for anybody in this room? Because I don't like to keep people longer in press conference than want. Again, Pete Spratt got more press than anybody around I saw this week. So thank you to Pete Spratt for getting all the press this week in the last four times. But I don't want to take up people's time at all, so I'll just throw it out. Any other questions for HD Net Fights, Reckless Mates? I don't want to keep people from drinking. But you know, I don't know this guy over here. This guy Mesger in here.
No, he's not in the room.
Jason Hill. Yeah. Come on up, buddy, if you want to talk about a little bit.
First, I want to thank HD Net for having the show. It's a great show, and took care of me. Second, it was a good fight with Chris Dostoevsky. He's a really tough opponent. I felt like I was winning the first round, and when the second round came, I kicked him in the leg without setting up with a punch, and he checked it, and I broke my foot. And I couldn't stand after that, and I think he kind of sensed it because I kind of grimaced in my face. And, you know, I wish I could have did a lot better, but, you know, I did the best I could, and, you know, the ref made a good decision and stuff like that. So, you know, to everybody, I'm sorry that that happened, and, you know, I did my very best.
Thanks, man. Any questions at all about that? Or? Go ahead.
So why the flops to the back? Why not a verbal tap when you go through leg break?
Well, basically, I want him to come to my guard. That's the only place that I felt like I could beat him. And, you know, that's why I flopped down on my back. You know, maybe it's a cowardly thing to do, but, you know, that's all I could do. I wanted him to come down, come try to hit me or try to scramble, and then maybe I could have caught him. He didn't come down there, so that's what happened. The ref called me.
Any other thoughts?
Thank you.
Can you come up, please? Pete Spratt, everybody. Tristan, come up. First of all, I mean, this was a heck of a war. On the watch giveaway thing, this came up as number two, and it was just a good war. And so what I'd really love to be able to do, guys, is let Tristan talk a little bit about what happened for him. Let Pete talk a little bit about what happened for him, and then open it up for questions.
Well, just came out there, Pete caught me with the very first punch, it cut me right over the eye, so I knew it was a bad cut from there, and could just feel it, knew I had to get the takedown and kind of went into desperation mode, and then he ended up reversing me to my guard, and he caught me with that one other good punch right on the cut, and from there I knew it was going to get called or stopped or something, so that's about where I was at. But I'd like to apologize to everybody for the weight issues. I apologize to Pete. I definitely didn't mean to disrespect him where he's seen that fights. I'm probably going to take a long time off after this, just to regroup, probably at least 6 months to a year, just to let my body adjust to everything. I'm still growing. And I think that's one of the biggest issues I've had with weight cutting here in the past year or so. I mean, about a year and a half ago, I was walking around at 160 pounds, and now I'm walking around at 200. So things have definitely changed for me, and I just want to take some time off and regroup. But that's about all I got.
Well, first off, I want to say that I appreciate HDNet for their support. I'm not going to get into details, but they definitely showed me that they had my back and was willing to go the longest yard for me. But, you know, about the fight, I knew exactly what Tristan would go for. And we definitely worked that scenario. He's got his signature move that he's got on maybe five or six people. And right off the bat, once he got the takedown, he went for that position, and I knew that I had to get that elbow inside and try to reverse the position. And when I saw the cut, I just had to, you know, go after that cut and see if I could get a stoppage or, you know, let him take a nap. And unfortunately, the referee stepped in and stopped it due to the cut. All right, guys, open for questions. Anybody have any questions on the fights?
Do you have a name for that overhand that you did? It kind of originated after Belton came down and landed on his face.
From his guard?
Yeah.
Oh, that's called a reach back. You know, I worked that with Mark Delagrati when I was training in Boston with Team Sigutong. And, you know, whenever we got a real inside a guy's guard, you know, we act like we're going to reach back and try to spread his legs and open his guard. And
you know, you come back with the punch and then never expect, because first thing they want to do is sit up anyway. So they're going to sit up right until that right hand is coming over top. It's a good setup.
How comfortable do you feel now on the ground?
I feel very comfortable. I train jiu-jitsu, gi and no gi, twice a day, 6 days a week, and I've got a great jiu-jitsu instructor in Rodrigo Pinheiro, and I feel comfortable on the ground. So it doesn't bother me to be there. It doesn't bother me to be on my back. And, you know, I've been training so much the last, you know, 7 months that I'm very comfortable, and I think with that jiu-jitsu training, I'm giving my career some longevity.
How do you feel about your career right now? Is there like a renewed life
good
after these 2 wins?
I mean, it has to be, considering how up and down it's been since I beat Robert Lawler a few years ago. And, you know, with these 2 good wins, you know, I feel good, but I just got to stay humble and remain to improve and stick with jiu-jitsu and keep the striking sharp. And I think I've got a lot more wins coming. Anything else, guys? I don't know. I got a couple of movie deals on the table. Of course, we may do the HD nights, the HDNN fights in February. So, you know, it remains to be seen. But definitely going to fight. You know, I'd rather fight first than do some movies. So.
TV boy, you think you deserve? You've gone on 2 fights now, and you were explaining on our radio show that you think you should be on the main card. You think you proved yourself now with these 2 fights that you should be on the main card for HDNN fight?
I think that over my career, I've proven myself that I can be a main event and on the main card. So, you know, that's in the eyes of HDNet. But for me personally, whether I'm on a 10-fight losing streak, I'm always going to think I'm main card material. So.
And to be honest, guys, that's what a fighter needs to have. He has to have the attitude that he's the best. You know, it always struck me as irritating when people go, he's not very modest. This is not a modest business. If you want to be modest, join a monastery. You know, this is about guys having to have enough confidence to go in there and fight another person and lay it on the line. So when he says he's one fight away from being the champ, it didn't matter if you have 10 victories or 10 losses, his attitude has to be the fact that he's one fight away from being the champ. And Pete has really risen to the occasion in these last couple fights. Tristan Yonker is a very tough guy. This was a very good win. And we're excited about having both these guys back in the future. Thanks, guys. Okay, let me have Jay White come on up. And Randy, come on up. Is Patrick Castile here? All right, good, because on the microphones we have. That'd be cute. Well, you know, we were kind of expecting a longer fight, so I'm not just sure exactly what the official time was. I think it was, 35 seconds or something like that, which, to be honest, it sounds, or no, it was a minute or something, which is not really a discredit to Patrick Castile. That was one of the slickest arm bars I've seen, and especially out of a very big guy. And so that was an incredible win. And, I'll be honest, guys, when we have a guy coming with a record of 1-5, and we probably would not have looked at him normally for our card. And I don't mean to be a fight snob, but we probably wouldn't. Randy had called us, said this is somebody to look at. Randy knows a little bit about mixed martial arts, so we took a chance. We took a little chance on the fact that he might know what he's talking about. And we're glad they did, because that was one of the slickest submissions I've seen in a long time. That was a good job. Would you tell us about that?
I just want to thank you for having me out. I know my record isn't the greatest. I fought a lot of tough guys early on in my career. But I knew Patrick wanted to stand and bang with me, so I figured my best option would be to take him down. When I got to Kimura, when he tried to stand up, I just wanted to sweep him to get back to Kimura. But when he flipped and rolled, I just saw the opportunity to take the arm bar, so I did.
And maybe we'll talk about his training first. Well, we're obviously really excited about Jay. It's an interesting story. Actually, Jay moved out from New York to train in Team Quest in Oregon, who
week after he moved out to train with me there, I moved to Las Vegas. So we never spent much time together. He stuck it out there for a couple of years and didn't like the weather much. He was away from his family back in New York, and his son had moved back to New York. And I was looking for guys his size to train and prepare for Gabe Gonzaga. And he's a very, very good grappler. At 265 pounds, you just don't find guys that size that move that well. And so he was perfect for me as a training partner to help me prepare for Gabe. And so I called him up and asked if he'd be interested in coming out to Vegas and training at the Street Couture. Ready. He was more than willing, was Johnny on the spot there, and was a big part of me preparing for that fight and actually winning that fight. You get a chance to get to know a guy and be around him and see what's in his heart, and the desire and the work ethic and the talent was all there. I think early on he got put into some fights that were above his ability. He was over his head. And he still hung into those fights. They were still tough fights. And I think we're thankful for the opportunity with HGNet to kind of start him over. His career starts over from this point on. He can build on this fight. This was a good fight for him. He's had a tough 6-month training camp that started with me preparing for Gabe, and then we had a couple other fights fall through. So he's been training a long time. He was very anxious to get in there tonight and put some of that training to work. So we want to take care of him, get him in the right fights, and I think HGNet is the right place for him to do that. They're going to get behind him, and we're going to get some confidence and continue to improve. And I think the biggest thing we need to work on with Jay is right between his ears. He's got all the other tools. It's always tough to train for 6 months for a minute and a half worth of work, but his training that 6 months makes it a minute and a half bunch of work. Let's leave this open for questions, please.
Jay, how do you feel now that you've gotten a win in a show like this and a convincing win with that?
I feel great. I haven't fought in over a year and a half. My last fight was March of 2006 when I lost to Jacob Ryan. So it feels great. I'm just really happy, excited. My camp and Randy have been wonderful to me. I've been asking with him more.
Do you think that you're working on that stuff between your ears?
Yeah, Randy's helped me a lot with my mental game. I think that's the biggest part I lacked was the mental preparation for the fights. I know I have the talent and the skills. Just psych myself out a lot of times.
We were talking beforehand, and you mentioned that you're a bit more of a not very social. Are you more introspective before your fights? Does it get into your head, and does it go round and round and round what's going to happen in the fights?
Yeah, I'm pretty introverted, especially when it comes to fights. I'm introverted anyway. I really don't like people too much. And I'm not a very social guy. But definitely before fights, I get my own head in.
He wonders why he has no hit on his match.com.
Do you have any more questions? Randy, how do you view this organization for the guys you're training? Is it a good place for them?
Absolutely. I think obviously the commitment is here. It just two shows, the production quality that they put out in their second show was pretty amazing. And I just see them continuing to get traction and get roots in the mixed martial arts community. The reputation guys that want to come and be treated that way. That's the way it should be. And I think it's going to be a great place.
One more question for Randy. You were disguised as Frank out there by the cage side. Did you fool anybody with that?
I was definitely here in support of Jay and Frank tonight. And, Trigg's clothing line and his sponsors and being one of his corner guys, that's part of it. You wear that stuff. And, so I wasn't intentionally trying to disguise myself, but if it worked, good for me.
Talk about the treatment of the fighters here. Are you one of the fighters that's potentially looking to come over to this organization?
I'm not sure what's going to happen with me at this point. I have a contract with the UFC that I have to honor. I can't reach that or have a litigation. So. And I don't need to do that. That contract expires in July, and we'll see what happens after that.
Do you have any thoughts on Fedor fighting Holloway as well?
Obviously, he's a big guy, and it's still a fight. Anything can happen in a fight. You're looking at a 7-foot guy. Greg can hit you from
across the ring right there in O-rings. So, I mean, I hope that that goes successfully, because I want to be the first guy to beat him. But, still a fight.
Is that it?
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, to wrap up, you know, it's been a crazy month for HDNet Fights. As a lot of you know, we're doing 4 live fights in the month of December on HDNet, which is unprecedented in mixed martial arts. So when we talk about the commitment to MMA, we have the fight today. Obviously, we joined forces with Matt Lindland Sport Fight for December 22nd. You'll see that live on HDNet. On December 29th, we have the IFL World Grand Prix live on HDNet. And then December 31st, we're bringing Fedor's card live. The whole event, there's been some question, but it's the whole event live on HDNet. And then we'll repeat it later in the day for those of you that don't want to get up at 6 a.m. on the East Coast on December 31st. But it's just an unbelievable, you know, rise that HDNet Fights is having right now. We also have Ring of Combat to start the month. So overall, you're getting 5 events in 1 month from us. It's a commitment from myself and Guy and Mark Cuban, really to change the mixed martial arts community. And also, you know, I welcome any of, you know, the media here to talk to any of the fighters here from the first fight to the last card, how they were treated by HDNet Fights, because that's really what we're about, is treating the athletes right with professionalism as athletes. They don't have to share rooms with their trainers and everybody else, and, you know, we're really here to treat the fighters well. So I just want to leave with that, and please, I encourage you to talk with fighters about the way they're being treated. We have no concern about that, and we really are proud of that. So thank you.
Well, yours ran out of power. So, I'm blowing it.